Hebrews chapter 11, our text is verses 32 through 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. If you're able to stand, would you please stand as I read the Word of God in your hearing, and then we bow together to seek God's and ask for God's blessing on our time together. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we bow together to thank you for the grace and the mercy that has saved us, the grace and the mercy that keeps us. Thank you for the grace and the mercy and the patience with which you handle us.
Yes.
And now, Lord, as we humbly bow before you, we confess together that we need your help to see and to understand what you're saying in this section of the Word of God. We ask you now by the power of the Spirit to bring not only a great peace upon this meeting, but Lord, enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Lord, open our hearts wide today,
yes,
that we might receive everything you have to say to us,
yes,
and make us all the better for having assembled here. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All right. Last week, we observed that faith is necessary both outside and inside the promised land. And so, in other words, you and I have to exercise faith as we are pursuing some great challenge or some great promise of God. But even after that has come to pass, there's still faith required to go on. The Christian is never to be at a point to where we feel like we have arrived, that we have succeeded in all that God has for us to do, right? And so you need faith as you are pursuing this great challenge. You need faith after you have achieved or received that promise, right? We also learned that even when believers initially respond to a situation in fear, God can still stir up faith. God can stir up faith in the weakest and most timid believer, right? See that in verse 29. And it's really where you see grace at work, when you see that virtually everyone that God calls to serve him has no confidence in themselves, you see?
Amen.
You know, don't be so hard on Moses and others who realize I'm not up. Paul said it himself. Who's up for this challenge, you know? This is more than any human being can naturally handle, you see. It takes power from God to enable you to for the supernatural work requires supernatural power, right?
Amen.
And so God can take anybody with all of your natural weaknesses and use you for great things. We learned that God gives instructions to bring down walls of impossibilities, but believers have to obey God, right? None of us should view the Word of God as optional, you see, or taking parts that you like and dismissing parts that you don't necessarily like, you see. The Word of God is an instruction manual for us to handle this life that's filled with impossibilities, okay? We see that in verse 30 as we looked at the people of God up against the wall of Jericho. And then finally in verse 31, we looked at Rahab. We learned that God's plan of redemption includes some of the most unlikely and impossible candidates. And if we were be honest ourselves, that would include every one of us. I think all of us would be shocked at the people who maybe had given up on us. And even now, some of our old friends who still not sure that somebody like us could really be a genuine Christian. And so God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost, as one of the old saints says. Yeah. That's what grace. Grace is amazing. That's the reason John Newton said that. He realized that he was at the lowest point. He was in the guttermost. And God reached down, and after convicting this man of this horrible evil that he had committed on humanity with slaves. And this his heart was broken, and God showed him, I can still save you and use you. Amen. Think of that. Use you. So as we come to our text today, the subject is, what more shall I say? Because it's what you see is the Hebrew writer has just reached the point to where he realizes, I cannot just continue to enumerate all of the people one by one. I can't give every name, every situation, right? And you know how that is at times. When you are trying to help someone and teach someone, you realize, I've given enough examples. I've given enough instruction. They ought to have it by now. So he's reached that point as he was teaching this first century group of believers. And now as he's teaching us, he's saying, I have given you enough now that you shouldn't need all of this litany and all of this detail to convince that you should live by faith. Amen. Right? Amen. So today, in verses 32 through 40, I broke my thoughts up this way. Verses 32 through 30, through the first sentence in 35, I said that we look at accomplishments through faith. And as we were talking to the children, you might think of that as winning, right? And then in verses 30, the latter part of 35 through 38, we'll call that suffering through faith. And from some people's perspective, that's losing. Okay. And then finally, I want to convince you in verse 39 and 40, whether you win or lose, nothing compares to the promise of God.
Amen.
Nothing, absolutely nothing compares. Right, Christian?
Amen.
Nothing compares. Nothing. So let's begin by looking at these, what I call these accomplishments through faith. And so we reached a point now where this pastor, and I believe with many other commentators, that this is a pastor writing to a group of believers. You know, it's just his heart, the kind of the tenderness, the way he deals with issues is just comes from a pastor's heart. OK. And so in verse beginning at verse 32, he begins to just bring his thoughts together with these final examples of people of faith. And you see how it reads? What more shall I say? For time would fail me. You see? To tell you, if I were to take time to talk about Gideon and all of his life's experiences and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, it would just take too long, and there's no need, really. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire. And he goes on to talk about these details. Now, here's what I want you to remember. I grouped these people together in what I call military and political activity, and then we're going to see religious activity. Okay, those are the ones he kind of extracted to conclude chapter 11, and I hope everybody listens to me today, because the Bible has something to say about government and political issues. And you probably didn't know that it was right here in Hebrews 11. All right? Stay with me. Now, first of all, he mentions, and for those of you who read your Bible, you probably know these names that I've read, right? Gideon and Barak and Samuel. You've heard about them, right? You know, Gideon and God using him with these few number of men to defeat the enemy, and Barak and his issues with where Deborah had to encourage him. You know that. So these men have, if you will, they have a history, and there is some acclaim, some accomplishments there. Now, even so, with all the success that these men had, they still had their weaknesses. They were just like you and me. God used them to do great things, but they were just like you and me. Now, I already mentioned some of them, and as I mentioned Gideon and Barak, you know, they were fearful, right? They were reluctant to obey God. God used them, but they had their weaknesses, right? And people think of Samson and the great things that he did for God, his might and power. But you know, Samson had a problem. He had a weakness for women and yielding to temptation when it comes to women. Jephthah might not be as familiar to some of you from Judges 11, but Jephthah was a judge used by God to deliver, to deliver God's people. And God was already going to use Jephthah to deliver, but Jephthah got zealous. You remember? You may not know the story. He made a foolish vow. He says, "Lord, you know, if you give me success against the enemy, the first person that comes out of my house, I'll offer him up to you as a burnt offering." And so he won the victory on his way home. Lo and behold, the first person that comes out of his house is his only child, leading the praise and for his victory. Right? Now, he didn't have to do that. God was going to give him the victory anyway. Right? And so this man had a problem controlling his mouth and his commitments, right? Of course, you're familiar with David and his issues, his problems with immorality, and then the plots and eventually the murder that came as a result of his own issues. But here's the thing. God, who knows the heart, reveals that these military and political victories were not a result of these men's intellect. It was not a result of their tact and their knowledge about war tactics and that kind of thing. You see, though they might have had some knowledge, they might have been very wise men. No, God said these men got victory because they had faith in him.
Amen.
You see the difference? They did not trust their education. They did not, we don't put that aside, but I don't trust in it. What's the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your college education. Don't lean to the professor's understanding. You see? Don't lean to it. Don't even lean to the commentaries. trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he did not say, you just discount. You learn. He didn't say that, did he? He said, don't lean on it. When it's all said and done, you got all the facts in, my trust is in the Lord.
Amen.
That's his point.
Amen.
That's his point. God is not discouraging education or learning or training. He didn't discourage any of that. He's just saying, don't put your trust in it. Right?
Amen.
Now, you with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay with me now, because I've told you this has a lot to say about how believers handle politics. People may remember these men for their outward success. You know, they may remember Samson for, the way he conquered. Or they may remember him for his failure. They may remember David. You know, sometimes people just can't get beyond David's immorality and his murder. They can't see that he was a man after God's own heart. People have their own way of looking at Christians. But thank God, he remembers us and he remembered them for their acts of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have looked at one person after another. We've seen that each one of them had problems. But God is commending them, not for their problems, but for their faith.
Amen.
Some of them, it took Moses 80 years to get to the point to where he was ready to be used by God. But God didn't hold that against him. Two-thirds of his life, it took in preparation for a few years of usefulness. And that's encouraging for all. Hopefully that's encouraging for us in this room, is that God spends a lot of time getting you ready. Listen to me, Trinity. All of us have higher estimates of ourselves than we think. Right now, virtually every one of us thinks we ought to be in a building. It's hard for us to wrestle and ring and to figure out why it's taking so long. That's God. The secret things belong to God.
Amen.
Right? He knows what he's doing. Yeah, yeah. And so what we have to continue to live by what? Faith. That's what he's looking at. Whether you ever get in a building or not, did you live your life by faith along the way? Right? Don't wait till it's over to live by faith. Don't wait till, you know that song, don't wait till the battle is over.
Yeah.
No, you got to live by faith now.
Amen.
In the battle. Right?
Amen.
You remember how Paul ends 1 Corinthians 15, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? The labor of the Lord. For your labor in Christ is what? Not in vain.
Amen.
Trust me, Christian. However you're serving the Lord, week by week, he sees it. If you and I go to the grave with this being the size of our church, God will watch how we lived.
Amen.
Growing the church is not our responsibility. Do you know that? People go to classes and seminars and church go up to... You read the book of Acts? Who added to the church? The Lord adds to the church. Now that's people building their churches. But we won't want to leave God's work to him. Right? Now, you've been with me so far. Here's what I want you to think about. These men put their faith in God, and their loyalty was to God and not in government. Okay? God says their success was according to their faith. Here's a statement that I wrote. Now, you listen to it. Believers must face government and political issues by faith and loyalty to God rather than loyalty to race, a political party, or even to a political movement. Let me say it again. Believers, now what we're looking at here is military and political issues that God is commending. He's saying, I'm commending them not because of their party affiliation, not because of their race or anything else. I'm commending them because of what? Their faith. And so when believers in the 21st century have to face military, political, government issues, we face it in faith. Not by opinion, not by feeling. You see, that was Jephthah's problem. His feelings got away from him. That was David's problem. When David's feelings got away from him, that's when he had immorality problems. That's when he got into murder. When he walked by faith, his life honored God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
When we yield to our feelings, I like this and I like that. I like... Jesus never aligned himself with a political party.
Amen.
Never. And we got to think, neither did any of his followers. They were good citizens, but they never said, I'm of this or I'm of that. They said, I'm a follower of who?
Christ.
Listen to me, Christian. That's what God is looking for today. Not looking for good politicians. That has nothing. I'm not saying anything negative about Christians in politics. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying to you and me, here's the way the psalmist says it. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's it. Okay? Now, this is important because I want you to see that by every one of these people is commended for their faith. Their faith. Stay with me. Look further. When it comes to religious success, you're going to also find out not a one of these people is commended for their denomination. You see? Now, I'm hoping you're tracking me. Man has come up with these categories and these, you see, you got to be a this and you got to be a that. No, God says you're mine.
Right.
You're mine. You got it? Christians in India, regardless of their, their government situation, they live by faith. Christians in China under communism, they live by faith. You got it? They are in the world, but what? They're not of it. You can live as a good Christian in a communist environment, in a Buddhist environment, you see? You don't have to align yourself just because everybody else is. Don't mean you have to align yourself with them. That's the world! That's the world system.
Amen.
You got it?
Amen.
Be very careful. I'm telling you, the world is very clever. The world likes to divide Christians.
Amen.
See, you are this and you are that. No, no, no. Christian.
Amen.
Christian. So look at this religious success. Now I'm telling you, this is very important, Trinity. If we're going to be able to do God's will in these last days, we can't let these things trip us up. We got to live like people of faith. Samuel, the prophets, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't fighting military battles. They were fighting spiritual battles against idolatry and immorality and the powers of evil. Some of the successes were obvious. You see this in look at verse 33. Stop the mouths of lions. You know who that is, right? That's Daniel. Quench the powers of fire. You know who that is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Women received back their dead by resurrection. You may not, that may not be as obvious to you. The prophets, Elijah and Elisha, remember that? Dealt with the widow of Zarephath. You remember her only son died and the prophet restored him back to life. And the Shunammite woman with Elijah and First and Second Kings. And so God used these prophets in this great blessed way as these women lived by faith, he gave them their dead children back. Okay? That's not for you and I to go around claiming that just because somebody dies, that they're going to be restored to life. That's not the point. This was a gracious gift of God that says, these women live by faith, and this is the way. This is the way God demonstrated his grace toward them. Right? And so this was these successes were obvious and easy to see. Other successes, though, were not so obvious. Because the prophet spoke for God and the people didn't obey. You see, and you look at that and you think, well, how can God be in this? Here's a man of God trying to tell the people of God to do right and they don't do it. How can that be considered success? That's considered success because when you obey God, that's the end of it. You're not obligated for people to obey. You see, that's the victory. God commends the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Why? Because people wouldn't obey. But Jeremiah was commended by God because he said and did what God told him to do. That's our role, my brother and my sister. You tracking me? Now, because the point is, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you were supposed to do, right? Now, listen to my next statement. Believers must face religious issues by faith and loyalty to God rather than cliques, rather than friendships. You see, I can't pull away from my friends. Now, these are Christians. I can't pull away from my friends. As if friends are always right. Or family members. Some of us know what that's like. You got family churches and all of this kind of thing. But are you listening to me? The Christian must live by faith in these areas. Amen. Not by what people are doing. Whether they're my relatives or not. My race or not, whether they're in the political party that I grew up in or not, I must live by faith. Amen. That's what we're looking at here. Right? Amen. God commends people for living by faith. What regardless of what my coworkers are doing. God gave me this job. And it's God that's keeping me on this job. They don't know that. You do. Right? They want you to get involved in their things. But you know, I can't do that. That dishonors my God. The God who gave me this job is dishonored by what you're wanting me to do. I live by faith. You're threatening to fire me. I live by faith. You understand what I'm saying? Believers must fight our physical and spiritual battles by faith in God in our homes. I'm getting real personal now. Because ultimately, if you're not willing to take the heat in your home, you're not ready to be a Christian. We must be ready to live by faith on our jobs.
Amen.
Whatever ridicule, whatever the consequence. In our schools, you know, I know for young Christians, we have a tendency to think that their faith is too young. Y'all do realize that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were teenagers. Four of them placed in the most awful, idolatrous environment known at that time. They didn't convert Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't underestimate a child's faith in the Lord and God's ability to carry them through anything the world throws at them. We live by faith. Now, I didn't say foolishness. So don't be foolish with your children. I'm just saying don't underestimate the power of God. God can take care, and I'm talking about a true believing child, right? God can take care. And so our battles are to be fought by faith. Then the other area of thought is what I call sufferings through faith. And this is a real challenging area. But you take a look at it with me. Look at the second sentence in verse 35. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sewn into, they were killed with swords. And look at those things. Look at those things. So the first area that I want to talk to you about is what I call deprivation. Deprivation. This is the first area of suffering. By faith, believers are willing to be deprived of the necessities of life for the love of Christ and for righteousness' sake. Y'all know how, if you hold your place there, if you don't want to turn, just listen to it. In Matthew 5, this is the way Jesus said it, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Being willing to be deprived of... Now listen to me. I'm not saying just the pleasures of life. And this is where Americans have got to get rooted in our faith. Americans get frustrated when we get deprived of the pleasures of life. But these Christians were deprived of the necessities of life. And they're being deprived of that all around the world right now. Right now. So this is not just happening in the first century. It's happening right now. They experience physical and emotional suffering. Look at the list. Mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment, skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, wandering about in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves. That is deprivation. They are being deprived of the very things to keep them alive. And it's what's happening, and one of the grossest things, that's what we see in Africa right now. Supplies are being sent, and the enemy won't even let the supplies get to those who are starving to death. That's the wickedness of the mind of those who are against, really, man created in God's image. Okay? And so, what I want you to see is the pain that was inflicted on them. I want you to see the agony that was inflicted on them. The misery. Think of it. You see, this is not like a fast. You know, these they were put in a position where people were trying to starve them to death. They didn't care whether they had food to eat or not. They didn't care whether they froze, whether their bodies were exposed to death. I mean, come on. They have medical issues just like you and me. What happens to you when your body is exposed to temperatures? I mean, think of what it's like in this room. Much less if you had to spend your days in a cave or in a mountain. You see, not knowing how you're going to stay warm. And so the shame and humiliation. These are people who had jobs. They had lives just like you and me. But they've been deprived of it. They wanted them to be humiliated. Christians had no rights. You see, they were going to shame them into denying their faith. That's the kind of thing that's happening today. See, on our jobs. See, if you don't compromise, then you can't work here. Well, see, that's you see the strategy there. I can make you compromise if I come up with a way that you can't pay your bills. That's the assumption that's the thinking. You see, if I affect your medical plan, if I affect that, then I can pressure you to compromise. We can't live that way, Christians. We cannot live that way. Cannot do it. Believers know that God can and does supply every need. But listen to this. Sometimes he requires us to suffer physical needs for eternal rewards. And I believe that a part of the reason that we here at Trinity are studying these things is that some of us have to be prepared for life maybe not as easy as we've had it in the past. If we're going to live by faith. Now you notice what I said. The Bible, first of all, wants us to be... Now, you notice, let me give you an example of Abraham. God didn't plan for Abraham to kill Isaac. But what? He wanted him to be willing to do it.
Amen.
That's the deal. I'm willing. Job said, the Lord what? Gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where he wants us. Everything you got, everything I got, what? The Lord gave it. And if he wants to take what? All of it away, that's his prerogative. He gave it. Come on, Christian. He gave it. And for many of us, we've had it a long time. Yes, we have. I remember I was talking to someone a little while back. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know about all of you all, but, you know, I didn't grow up with air conditioning. You can't think of living without air conditioning nowadays. I didn't grow up with air conditioning. I didn't grow up with central heating. Some of y'all probably don't know anything about them pajamas, and you run up to that stove and get them hot, run and jump in the bed before they did y'all have to do that before they cool off. But we've forgotten all that. Nowadays, if I can't go in there and turn the thermostat, well, it better not get too cold. But you see, we have to be careful that we don't let those things dictate our faith. Don't let those things cause any of us to compromise. You see, to hang on to that. That's the deal here. They were willing to be deprived even of the necessities of life. They kept the faith even though they were deprived. And then we see in these verses, not only was there deprivation, but there was death. By faith, believers would rather die than knowingly compromise the will of God. In verse 35, beginning at the second sentence, Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. They refused it. In other words, they were unwilling to compromise, even though they know I'm going to die as a result. Even though I know this is going to cost me my life, I will not compromise. This is really important now. Believers must sometimes face cruel and premeditated actions designed to cause physical pain, which results in death. Think about this now. Believers must sometimes face cruel and premeditated. You know, hopefully everyone understands the word premeditated. In other words, people plan ways to be cruel, to hurt you. That's the Bible speaks of men and women who don't sleep until they plan some evil. Those who are interested in the bottom line, who are interested in only certain kinds of results, that's a premeditated plan, not to help you, but to save the company, or to save the country, or to save this thing and that thing, not people. And you really need to think about that sometimes when you hear all this talk about helping the country. What is the country without the people? How can you help a country without helping the people? But we must face cruel and premeditated actions designed to cause physical pain, which results in death. And look at these things. They were tortured. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. And if you've studied history, you know that there was some awful. The Romans had designed some awful ways for people to die. Terrible. And so I guess what I'd say to all of us is that believers know that God can and does deliver us from all dangers. But sometimes that deliverance is into eternal glory. Everybody's not going to be healed. Everybody's not going to be saved from the lion's mouth. Every Christian soldier is not coming home. Every Christian in the hospital is not getting out. You know what I'm saying. But believers, we realize that our days are in the hands of the Lord. Amen. We live by faith. By faith. By faith. They kept the faith knowing they were going to die. And then finally, after thinking about accomplishments and sufferings, I would say to all of us, remember, none of that compares to the promise of God. So the issue really is not how well we did in this life, but how faithful were we along the way. You see verse 39, and all these, though commended through faith, did not receive what was promised. Neither victories nor sufferings caused them to lose focus and the hope in the promise of God to redeem. You all know that the first seed, or the first, time that we get some indication of the gospel is in the book of Genesis, right? Genesis 3:15 is where you get really a synopsis of the gospel. You know, after God has approached Adam and Eve about their sin, verse 15, he says this to Satan: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So that promise was already given there with Adam and Eve. God says, I'm going to send the Savior. I'm going to send a deliverer. He's going to, crushing your head means that he is going to have victory over you. You're going to cause a little bit of damage, but he is going to win. He's going to crush your head.
Amen.
So to get the gospel right there. And Job said, I know my Redeemer lives.
Right?
And so down through the generations, the promise was there. The saints knew God's going to work this out. God got a Savior. He's going to send him. He's coming. He's coming. And so the promise was there. And the ultimate promise, as I said, was that he would he was going to send a Redeemer and a Savior. They all died believing that the Redeemer was coming. And I tell you this, I made this note for myself. Listen to this. A delayed promise from God is still a certainty.
Amen.
You got that? A delayed promise from God is still a guarantee. If God promised it, you and I shouldn't be shaken just because you didn't see it come to pass. That's what God is commending these saints for. Abel and all of these things. They lived and they died. They didn't see it, but they never lost hope. They never lost their focus. God's going to do it. I'll hold to that till the day I die.
Amen.
Okay? And their faith was no different than ours. You know, they look forward to it. You and I look back on it. Neither one of us saw it. Right? Neither one of us saw it. It's all by faith. And then finally, I call it the promise perfected. Verse 40. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Their faith was not in vain. Because Jesus came, he lived the perfect life, he died the substitutionary death, and he was raised in a glorious and wonderful resurrection. The promise was made perfect or complete in Jesus. Jesus is the completion of the promise. He is the Savior that was promised. And now, New Testament saints are joined together with Old Testament saints as we all look to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Everyone from Abel, you remember we saw Abel in verse 4? Everyone from Abel to the last sinner that's going to be saved will be saved by faith in Jesus.
Amen.
This is amazing. Everybody in heaven will be saved by faith in Christ alone. So as we conclude, I want you to think on a personal level. What conclusions have you reached about your own life today? Are you willing to face any government, political, or religious issue by faith and loyalty to God, regardless of what other people do? Regardless of what other people do. Are you willing to trust God for success in any government, political, or religious issue, regardless of what other people do? Are you willing to trust that God knows exactly what he's doing? Not only with the United States, but with Trinity Community Church.
Amen.
Are you willing to trust him? You see? Not only with Trinity Community Church, are you willing to trust that God knows exactly what he's doing with you? Are you willing to be deprived of the necessities of life for the love of Jesus and to do his will? And I want you to think about these things. I don't want you to just glibly say, oh yeah, yeah. I want you to think about these things. You remember Jephthah made a foolish vow, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You need to think about what you're saying here today. Are you willing to suffer premeditated, cruel, and even deadly actions against you for your love and obedience to Jesus? Are you willing? You see, you need to think about it beforehand, so that, as the Bible says, you shouldn't be surprised at the way this world responds to you when they find out that you really do love Jesus. Don't be surprised. I certainly hope your answer is yes. I'm willing to trust God with the outcome of every experience in my life, whether physical or spiritual. I'm willing to trust him, whether it's in my home or in my church. I'm willing to trust him, whether it's in the government or on my job. I'm willing to trust him, whether it's in school or in some form of pleasure. I hope that we all can answer together that my faith and my loyalty is to God above everyone and everything else. My faith and my loyalty is to him. Because my first love is him. Amen. I love him because he first loved me.
Yes.
Then I love my neighbor. But I love him first. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Christian, I hope you will reach the right conclusion today also. Believe in Jesus and be saved right now, regardless of what other people do. Believe in Jesus and be saved right now, regardless of how you feel. Believe in Jesus and he will save you right now. Our Father, thank you for hope and joy and peace and faith. Thank you for covering every avenue and every venue in our lives to show us how we can live by faith in every aspect of our lives. Forgive us for the times that we have walked by sight and caused undue worry and stress and harm in our own lives. And as we bow together now, Lord, help us to find great peace in living by faith and not by sight. I pray that just as you brought Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and others, as you brought them through their own weaknesses of life, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to not lose heart now, but to grow firm and strong in our faith, even as we know our own weaknesses. Help us to walk very close with you.
Yes.
Draw very near now to your people, and help us to consider these matters seriously in our own hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I think I got another song here. That real brief song I want to play, and I want us to think about it.